Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Halloween Corner. Even though it's not going to be Halloween for much longer, we're probably going to go into just Visual Novel Corner. You guys requested it. I literally had a request for the third video as soon as I posted this. Like, where's three? What do you mean, where's three? I just put the first two up. It takes me a while to do these, guys. And apparently this is being watched a bit on YouTube as well. So, since that's a big part of my audience, let's go ahead and continue. You guys are honestly interested in this, even though it kind of bored me to tears in the beginning. But we're going to continue, guys. Let's go. Needless to say, this is for the sake of getting information regarding his regret. Divine Selection takes place at 12 p.m. on Sunday, JST, so we'll be in a good spot if we manage to get all three pieces of info on him before then. There should be an S there. As for why I'm tailing him on my own, well, Odette's down with a hangover. Not in the way you'd imagine, though. She ain't suffering in bed. She's pissed off and screaming at everyone and everything. Ooh. Well, there's always downsides to muscle waifus, you know? Can't believe she's making me second guess her usefulness just one day later. Odette, this ain't good. Not long after I start tailing him, I have to rush back to the hotel to get Odette. Rose Company was located in one of those fancy high-class buildings in the middle of Beijing City. I lost sight of him thanks to it being so crowded, but I managed to learn his plans. A few minutes after entering the building, he made his way back out. Acting as someone there in official business, I asked the front desk about his schedule, to which they replied he was leaving on a business trip. They were hesitant about revealing the destination at first, but I managed to get them to reveal that he'd be staying in Taiwan for 3 days while visiting their local branch. Turns out we can hop on the same flight as him if we haul ass over to the airport. He's on his way to Taiwan, so get moving. We're going after him. I knock on her door, fully expecting her to flip out at me. Imagine my surprise when she struts out of the room all ready to go, luggage and all. As an aside, our phones and credit cards were perfectly intact despite our washing up ashore, so we didn't have any issue buying whatever gear we needed. I just told the front desk that we'd be checking out. You what? Sorry to burst your bubble, but I was fully aware of his plans when we hashed things out last night. Why'd you get me to tail him then? Ain't much of a co-op if I'm doing all the ops, know what I mean? I'm planned on calling the whole thing off if you couldn't get your hands on such basic info. She drops that bombshell on me like it's a casual greeting. The fact that she doesn't mention what she'd do with me if I failed her little test proves how twisted she is. Why do I gotta be tested in the first place? You're a bit too sly for your own good. What was that? Nothing. We leave the hotel after I rush to get my stuff together. Having made it on time to catch the same flight as Ro, we make our way to our hotel in Taiwan after landing. It's the same hotel he's staying in, so we choose a room far enough away from his, and then discuss our next move over some wine and cheese. Gotta hand it to you. I didn't think you'd try to find him on the flight itself. Well, I couldn't find him in the flight's lobby since he had the nerve to fly business class. Then again, it's probably best that he did, since that stomach of his would just piss off everyone in economy. Glad I was able to business class myself, though. Managed to tail him from the arrival lounge to his hotel because of that.
Business class.
Meanwhile, I was stranded in economy. You do realize the other participants know your face, right? What would you have done if he noticed and started to panic? He didn't seem bothered. Probably didn't expect other participants to make their way out to China to find him. In fact, the way he's working and going about his daily life may mean that he doesn't actually believe that divine selection's happening. True, most adults wouldn't believe that crap. Only reason I did is because we both washed ashore together. She grins nihilistically before continuing. Yeah, it does kind of suck that this one doesn't have any H scenes, man, because I would definitely be on the Odette path. That is a hell of a chiseled woman, folks. Surely you'd have some questions about how you're still alive if you're aware that you died, though. Seems like enough to believe that this whole situation's for real. Pretty sure you're the only one with enough screws loose to reach that conclusion. More importantly, something's fishy about how long he's staying here, wouldn't you say? I grab some squares of cheese as I pose that question to her. Once I confirm that she's reacted to it, I continue. The people at his work said he'd be gone for 2 nights and 3 days, but the front desk here said he's only here for tonight. I hope you made sure he won't find out about your snooping. Damn right I did. I started shouting at them about how he's being too nosy and noisy, and that they should fix things, only for them to tell me to deal with it since he's leaving in the morning. I guess that works. Still, that's odd. From what I gathered, he's visiting the Taiwan branch tomorrow and one of their factories the day after. This hotel is pretty ideal for getting to both locations, too. Oh well, just tell him again tomorrow. I'll do my own digging in the meantime. Mind being a bit more specific? Let's forget about it for now and focus on tonight's grub. I still haven't had Taiwanese food yet, so I'm curious how it stacks up against good old Mediterranean. Well, guess we're best off not rushing things and messing it all up. We split the rest of the wine between us and finish off the cheese. Hey, just to be clear, Mediterranean cuisine belongs to Italy and not France. If anyone's gonna compare its quality to the seafood here, then it's me. The major thing I take away from yesterday's activities is that, surprisingly, Taiwanese food ain't half bad. Yeah, they could work on their presentation a bit, but those steamed shrimp buns were delicious. Could see myself getting hooked on those rice noodles, though. Okay. Don't let me forget the spicy stuff, either. Adding some doubanjiang and tianmianjiang really created a perfect and rich balance between sweet and sour. Oops, that's enough Odette impressions for one day. Even though my stomach regrets eating so much last night, here I am in the hotel's parking lot early in the morning waiting for Ro. Once I see him leaving a taxi, I make sure to follow. And now I've been sitting around outside his company's building for a good part of the day. Boring as hell, but I'm used to waiting by this point. The streets of Taiwan really are an interesting sight, though. You can get a good hour's worth of entertainment from people watching. Too bad I still got another 7 hours left. After what feels like an eternity, I finally spot him leaving the building. Here we go. I figure he'll make his way back by taxi too, but it looks like he's hoofing it instead. It's entirely possible that the people at the front desk told me he'd only be staying one night just to get rid of me. But the fact that he's not going straight back by taxi proves nothing. He could be going out for a meal with someone first. That much is normal for a corporate bigwig like him. As it turns out, he ends up at an Italian restaurant in town. A ristorante, to be accurate. Italian restaurants are split into ristorantes, trattorias, and osterias. Ristorantes are the fanciest of the three. Heh, at least he's got good taste. The glass paneling makes the restaurant easy to keep an eye on, so I waltz into a cafe directly across the street. It's got glass paneling as well, so there's no danger of losing track of him. I order an espresso and dump plenty of sugar into it. It's gotta be a struggle to make this last as long as a ristorante meal, but I gotta deal with it. As far as I can tell, it seems like a real fancy joint. Looks like he's made a reservation, judging by how he gets taken to a seat by one of the staff right away. Soon after, someone takes a seat across from him. A young woman. She's wearing one of those glitzy red dresses that dirty old geezers drool over. I'm pretty sure he's got a family, but it doesn't take much for me to catch on to what this is about. She ain't my type, but there's no denying that she's a looker. Doesn't seem like a random hostess either. Hardly surprising, considering the kind of person he is, I guess. Having discovered their relationship, I spend the rest of my time watching them enjoy their meal. Guess he's picked out a wine beforehand. Gotta hand it to him. Red wine like that would send any woman over the moon, assuming they've got good taste. It's just a shame that he's using his bread to wipe up the leftover pasta sauce. You're gonna make that woman feel ashamed to be with you, buddy. The restaurant seemed like it's more on the expensive end compared to the others around here, too. Chances are he started going to these types of places more often once he hit a certain age. He has the appropriate manners, but sticking to them and also dropping old habits can prove to be tricky. Not like anyone's gonna call him out for it, considering his age and position. 3 hours pass before they finish eating and enjoying their after-dinner espresso. I get myself ready to leave while Ro pays for the whole thing by card. Fortunately, I know exactly what their plan is, probably because I'd do the same thing. Once they leave and get into a taxi, I jump into another one and follow them. They end up making their way back to the woman's apartment, so after I confirm that they've gone inside, I return to the hotel. I don't know much about Taiwanese dogs, but some breed I'd never seen before came out to greet them both when they arrived at her place. Took your damn time. Part of the job. How'd things go on your end? She waves her hand in dismissal. Guess she wasn't able to learn anything. Interesting, so now she's pissed off. Meanwhile, I'm feeling pretty great because I've gotten my hands on some crucial info. Looks like I'm the only one who came out of this with more info then. Know what they say is best for a pissed off woman, right? Yep, can't put it in this one though. Quit bragging and spit it out, asshole. Yep, she's pissed all right. Yep, I know how to deal with that. I heave a quick sigh before explaining what I saw. Our respectable businessman was out meeting a woman. Not family, I assume. His wife and three kids should still be in Beijing. Right. She was a young one. No doubt she's his lover, considering they shared a little kiss before heading into her apartment. Ugh, what a scumbag. Right? The fatty acts all respectable when he's got a hot little dish on the side. Even her dog seems attracted to him, so there's no doubt he visits often. Damn, but I was talking about you. What kind of person spies on a middle-aged man's affairs like that? Look, you can't accuse me of whatever you want just because you're pissed off. Anyway, it's pretty much a given that his regret has to do with his lover. Our last two attempts were regarding his family and work, but neither caused a card to appear. It might have been because we weren't entirely certain, but a part of me felt that we just weren't on the right track. I'm confident about this one, though, which is why I direct my comment to the book, expecting it to churn out a card for me. Come on, what is this crap? It's gotta be his lover. All that follows is a brief period of absolute silence, sans the sound of the air conditioning humming away in the background. Looks like you didn't dig deep enough. The fact that nothing happened despite your misplaced confidence proves you're wrong. I have no comeback. All I can do is begrudgingly jam a cigarette in my mouth. Mind going to the smoking area? I really can't handle the smell of those things. Guess we gotta start over. Want me to tell him again tomorrow? She flashes me her standard grin in response. I guess you can have fun doing that again. Meanwhile, I'm gonna make sure I get the right dirt on him this time around. Whatever. Can't believe he's screwing around with his lover while I'm stuck here. I find myself eyeing Odette after saying that, but nah. I wouldn't go at it with someone like her, even if she asked. I head out and have a smoke after that, a little annoyed at myself for even considering that option. We leave Taiwan in the morning and check back to the same hotel as before when we get back to Beijing. I part ways with Odette, who says she has something she wants to look into, and then I start telling Ro again. Getting anything worthwhile regarding his regrets as he goes about his daily business proves to be a lot more difficult than expected, so I make my way back to the hotel after I confirm his return home. Took your time. And where were you exactly? Oh, nowhere special. We're pretty much done until Sunday, so let's go and celebrate somewhere. How about the place we ate at our first day here, starting to crave their Peking duck again? Wait, what? You found out his regret? Sure did. Ain't telling you though. Last thing I need is the two of us electing him at the same time and having to share our own info. That goddess did mention something to that effect, now that I think about it. Like if two or more people elect the same person, they gotta reveal one piece of their own info to everyone else to gain election priority. Sure, you'll be able to get info from the person you eliminate, but you're putting way too much at risk in exchange. Odette's removing the chances of that happening to us by not telling me. In other words, she doesn't trust me. Can't say I trust her either, though.
ところでよ。いい加減怪しまれるぜ、おっさん。
Anyway, how long are you gonna hang around there like a creep, geezer? Her sudden insult takes me aback, but she isn't actually addressing me. She is looking over to the door I'd entered from. I approach the door, praying that the worst case scenario in my head won't take place, and then open it. I see my cover was blown quite fast. Roll channel, the very man we've been following around is standing right there. That means he's the one who's been tailing me all along. When did you? I admit, the fact that you two are working together took me by surprise. At first, I thought you were part of the press trying to dig into my slush funds, but that didn't seem fitting for a thug like yourself. Yeah, I guess Fatso does kind of match this guy. I mean, my God. Man's got an entire turkey in his stomach. Did you just call me a thug? He continues talking, blatantly ignoring me. I assume you're the one responsible for all of this, Odette Melancholm. Well, I guess even you're smart enough to realize that I'm the brains of this operation. That's irrelevant. He's right. The important bit is he called her by name, meaning he's in possession of her name card. He made that clear in an attempt to bait a response from her. Chances are she realizes that as well, which is why she responded the way she did. I did find it difficult to swallow the whole dream world nonsense, but one can't help but believe it when someone they saw in a dream world winds up on the same flight as them. That goes double for a woman who stands out as much as you do. Yeah, she really does stand out. Not only is she pretty damn tall, but she's also built like a tank. You can say she's got looks, but those don't stand out near as much. Heh, you ain't wrong about that. What are you grinning at, punk? You may want to wipe the smirk off your face. Surely you understand why I'm here, don't you? Let's work something out. I have a family to support, so I can't allow myself to die right now. I take it you know either my cause of death or my regret then. She takes a deep breath before shaking her head. It can't be both. You'd have killed me during the first round if that were the case. Pleased to see that you have your wits about you. Hold on, if you were eavesdropping, then you should know that we've got all your info. Indeed, that's why my proposition is as follows. Miss Odette, I need you to promise that you won't elect me. If you don't, then I'll tell this little thug here everything I have on you. His expression is deathly serious. I have to stop myself from cracking a smile. The room is silent as can be, but not for the reason he is hoping. At long last, Odette shatters the illusion when she bursts out in laughter. She follows that up by punching him square in the face, which sends him flying over to the opposite side of the hall. The dude must weigh over 200 pounds, a true testament to her ridiculous strength. Ugh, have you lost your mind? She saunters over to him, takes a seat, and laughs right in his face. He's holding his cheek after that punch, but it looks to me like his nose took more damage considering it's gushing blood. Whoops. Oh yeah, that's right, there isn't a... Yeah, there is, there's a hide button. There we go. Now that is a good CG, I like that one. She said, that's your proposition? Give me a break. So you're fine with me revealing your information? Your little corporation, will crumble right away if I do. Just try it, fatty. Know that I'll have this thug kill your whole family if you do. She punches the floor as her way of telling me to keep my mouth shut. Let's say your little plan works. Did you ever consider the idea of him making it through to the end? Your family wouldn't be coming back to life anytime soon if that happened. Hell, not just your family. We'll get your little regret to join them. You're beyond insane. Shut it, you disgusting piece of trash. She stands up and kicks him straight in the gut. Oh, he felt that. Gotta say, even I think she's overdoing it a bit. You're acting way too big for your boots. I want everything to go nice and smooth, so just give up and resign yourself to death. If you want to make propositions, then make sure you get some real info on me first. Enough to protect yourself if I elect you. You insolent little... Hold on. I gotta redo that. You insolent little... There we go. That's what it sounds like when you got kicked in the fucking gut. A real businessman wouldn't try to make something out of nothing. They take something small and turn it into an empire. She grabs him by the collar while she spits out her insults. All he can do in response is close his eyes and turn his head away. Go write your will or something. Not that anyone will see it after you're gone. Once she finishes, she motions for me to go back into the room with her. There is plenty I want to call her out on, but the last thing I want to do is go against her will right now. Yeah, she almost killed that man already. It's like I've said before. She's the type of person who tries to ultimately solve everything through violence. Well, it seems like it worked for her. Once we're back in the room, she acts like nothing just happened. Anyway, let's get some grub. Alright. This woman really is nuts. I don't know, sounds like my kind of woman. You know, nuts. Built like a tank and completely fucking nuts. The Mafia might do some shady stuff now and then, but we still have some attachment to society's norms, considering we dip our hands in regular business to a certain extent. Meanwhile, people like her live by the rules of the sea, lack any such attachments. That realization helps to explain why even a mafioso like myself can be surprised by someone's insanity. Ro is outright vanished by the time we leave the hotel to go get some food. I actually feel pretty bad when I think about how he's probably spending what little time he has left with his family. That being said, the fact that I'm here enjoying some food and booze despite it all proves how messed up I am, too. Once we've satisfied our stomachs, Odette hits me with a threatening gaze. Just to be clear, don't you dare try and contact him in secret, you hear me? If you do then, let's try that again. If you do then, let's just say I know how to make people wish they were dead. She says this like it's a perfectly acceptable topic to bring up during a meal. Odette gives no fucks, man. She's gonna talk about whatever the hell she wants. Who the fuck's gonna stop her? It's like, yeah, we'll keep this alliance going till it's just the two of us left. Oh, so now you're gonna act like the head honcho, huh? Bah, come on, you know what I meant. Just don't hit me, alright? I'm gonna go talk to Ro if you do. Domestic violence! It's like, now that's a sense of humor I can appreciate. She lets out a raucous laugh, but I can tell it's phony. Odette's the kind of person who walks a thin line at all times while making sure that everyone else thinks otherwise. Not that I'm one to talk when I do the same myself. She says she wants to avoid us both electing Ro, but another reason she's refusing to tell me his regret is because she knows there's a chance he has info on her. The fact that I've only realized such a simple truth now proves that I'm still in no position to get the advantage over her. Jumping ship to Ro's side would do more worse than good for me, too. So basically, I'm best off remaining her ally. Oh, so he's willing to jump ship. But she gonna kick his ass. Gotta say, it feels great to smack around big guys like him. Should have given him another one for the hell of it. Yeah, she damn near killed the man, I'm telling you. You were enjoying every moment of that, weren't you? Oh, you could tell? Honestly, it's hard to beat the rush you get when you know someone's life is in your hands. You'd have to be a real dumbass to earn the wrath of someone this insane. Having finished our business, all that's left to do is wait for the second round to start. Okay. Phew! There's been no progress at all these past few days in regards to divine selection. Okay, folks, now, I will say one thing about this game. I haven't been using a walkthrough, so we're doing pretty well, I guess. We're gonna get some ending. Probably won't be the real one, but we're gonna get some ending. Let's check out what's going on with Naomi, huh? I've just been going about my business as normal. That means seeing Naomi more and more thanks to my teaching her how to brew coffee for the culture festival. She spilled boiling water and folded the filter wrong a good number of times, but fortunately none of our cups have been broken yet. That's likely due to the fact that she's aware of how much my grand treasures them, so she takes extra care despite her inherent clumsiness. As for Miharu, nothing's changed between us since the whole thing started. That's not true. She says that's not true. There's actually been a significant change. I'm referring to the fact that we were both just acting as though nothing's changed. Might as well go to bed. I say this out loud for no reason. From what I remember, I was taken to the dream world at midnight last time. Might as well go to sleep now if that'll happen again. I glance over to the clock, which says it's 11 p.m., and then I shut my eyes. I guess it doesn't matter whether I'm awake or asleep. I find myself in the court of fate once again. It's as impressive as ever. And as I figured, it doesn't matter whether or not I'm asleep when the time comes. To my left is Miharu, and to my right is that Middle Eastern man. I take brief glances at both their faces, opting to not engage with either of them. Part of me is afraid of that man. He doesn't seem fazed by the fact that he eliminated someone last time. I can't imagine I'd remain that stoic knowing I'd just stolen someone's future from them. None of the other participants speak to each other. Instead, we allow an oppressive silence to rule the court. Good evening, my lovely little slaves to fate. Hopefully you won't go on 100 years this time. The one to break the silence is none other than the girl we've all grown familiar with. She stands in the middle of the court, her posture as elegant as ever. I'm fairly sure she wasn't here when I arrived, and yet she's here now. I assume this is what it would feel like if you saw someone teleport in front of you. She actually might be teleporting, though assuming that whole thing about being a goddess is true. She says, I see your spirits are still rather high, much to my disappointment, as the reality of your death's yet to hit you. Just hearing her speak helps convince me that she's not lying about being a goddess. You can tell she's looking down on us based on her ruthlessness, which somehow seems fitting for a goddess. I've definitely reevaluated my thoughts on her over this past week. Oh, we get another CG. Again, really, really nice artwork here. Look at the way that the metal gleams. Very well, then allow us to begin tonight's election. She softly announces the beginning of the end. Revolve, O clock of fate. In response to her command, the hands on the clock begin to move. A long minute hand points at me. I didn't notice during the first round thanks to my circumstances, but this is basically the method of confirming whether or not a participant wants to elect someone. I'll pass. Miharu opts not to elect anyone as well. The man appointed as numeral 3 does the same. He's tall and wears a suit. I assume he's European based on his facial features. That reminds me, how's it determined what we'll be wearing while here? I sincerely doubt he'd be sleeping in a suit, so how did he get brought here while awake? Not like what you're wearing at the time reflects what you'll be wearing here either. The fact that I'm wearing my school uniform despite going to bed in my pajamas proves that. As for Miharu, she's also in her uniform. That's a very interesting point that they make. That doesn't matter what you wear, you can be naked, they'll have clothes on you when you arrive. That's important stuff. That's like the question about the Hulk, you know? It's like Bruce Banner halts out, but his shorts, man, they always stay intact. Like, it don't matter, his shorts just, like, everything just goes back to normal. You remember, like, the Hulk cartoon when he would Hulk out and then go back to being Bruce Banner, but the shorts would still fit him? They wouldn't just fall off him like crazy? Yeah, those are the fucking strongest shorts in the whole damn world. This outfit doesn't stand out too much, so I doubt anyone could identify it without taking a picture first, but that doesn't change the fact that info on me is out in the open. I can't do anything about it so long as I don't understand how to influence my appearance, though. Putting that aside, I take a look at all the other participants again. Out of everyone, numeral 7 is the only one who's visibly distressed. Maybe Parka was acting cynical before. There's no doubt he'll be elected tonight. I'm sure that's what everyone else is thinking, too. There's likely nothing in common between us and us all other than that juncture of causality thing Parka mentioned before. Our ages, gender, nationality are all over the place. Numerals 4 and 10 are younger than me, even. Shit. Both are girls and foreigners, from what I can tell. Why did kids as young as them have to die? The fact that I can only come to know the reason through eliminating them is nauseating. Before I know it, the clock hands make their way around the numeral 11. It's a tall woman built almost like a sports athlete.
Yep.
Not only are her legs nice and long, but her chest is sizable as well. What about the abs? Not gonna mention the abs! You can tell there's no way in the world she's Japanese based on her looks. I'm normally jealous of tall people because of my height, but even I know it's impossible for me to ever look like that. A clock hand stops in front of her. I feel like our eyes meet all of a sudden, probably because I've been staring at her for so long. I avert my eyes immediately. I don't know why, but my instincts are telling me to fear her. She's not normal. Not just because of her build, there's something fundamentally different between her and regular people like me. It's a different kind of fear than the one I feel in relation to numeral 12, too. Part of me gets worried that I'm about to be elected, but as I expect, she goes straight for numeral 7. The small hour hand spins to point toward him. The platforms both of them are standing on begin to emit an odd light. After that, the minute hand shifts to numeral 12, who simply shakes his head. Looks like he's not electing anyone tonight. Numeral 11 elects numeral 7. Very well. Parka smiles once the longer hand finishes making its way around. That's not the face one should normally make when they know someone is about to be eliminated. Both of their platforms start to move and gradually rise above us. The same thing happened last time, too. Only one of them will return. I take my eyes off the rising platforms after muttering that. It doesn't take long for them to finish. Also, as I expect, it's the woman who returns. She reports the results to Parka, her expression one of obvious displeasure. I got numeral 5's name. That damn geezer was a wuss right until the end. Numeral 5 looks the oldest of us all. He's most likely Japanese. He doesn't react when she mentions that she's learned his name, although he might just be feigning indifference. In fact, the woman seems to be more transparent with her emotions than him. She's the complete opposite of numeral 12 when he elected and eliminated someone. While he displayed no emotion at all, she's openly annoyed, but deep down she seems to be enjoying this. She reminds me of a kid who gets angry when they lose a game, but secretly enjoyed the experience. Tonight's session resulted in one elimination. I bid you all farewell for now. I want some more time to observe things here, but Parka brings an end to tonight's round without a moment's hesitation. Unlike the first round, I've come away from this one having learned a lot more. Unfortunately, that only serves to give me an even worse feeling about the days to come. By the time Odette eliminates Ro, morning has come. I can't even remember whether I was awake or asleep when we got taken into the dream world. It's partially due to the fact that I didn't take the time difference between here and Japan into account, but from now on, I should make sure to remain more alert on Sundays. Once we've gotten ready to leave, we call on room service to bring us up some breakfast. So in the end, what was Ro's regret? Figured you'd have known by now. You even mentioned it yourself. I did. I think back to my previous suggestions, albeit without much confidence. So it had something to do with his lover. Oh boy, you really don't have a clue. She gulps down the rest of her Americano before continuing. Gotta say, she really likes espresso-based drinks, doesn't she? Dog-related. Dog, you don't mean... Yes and no, a dog, but not his lovers.
子犬から育てて成犬になれば友人になり最後を見取る。
Oh wow, he wanted to raise one, to be there for it as a pup, to become best friends with it as it grows older, and to be by its side during its last moments. Sounds mundane, but few people are able to experience something like that. Part of me finds it hard to believe that someone can have that much regret over a dog. Come on, everyone has their own priorities. Ain't it normal to have a pet or two where you're from? Where I'm from, huh? I'm not fond of having to talk about myself, so I try to shift topics. Mind if I ask how you figured that out? I thought it might be the case... Okay, I thought it might be the case when you mentioned that his lover had a dog of her own. Did a bit of digging after that, and bingo. Turns out his wife has dog allergies, haha. So no surprise he couldn't own one. She spills every last bean on his personal life after that. His parents who lived in the countryside had a dog back when he lived with them during his youth. That dog was killed in a traffic accident, though. His family refused to get another pet after that, since the sudden shock that came from losing it was too much for them. And that led to the birth of Rose's greatest regret. He wished he could have been there for his family dog's final moments. I can get where he's coming from, but I just can't imagine it turning into your life's biggest regret. She scoffs in response, believe it or not, but this brute actually has a soft spot for animals. Her ultimate regret might be dog-related as well. Not like you can keep a pet when you're always at the sea. Either way, the discussion moves away from Rose shortly after that. Over the course of his life, he kept too busy and was too financially unstable to own a pet. Once he got married and settled down, he discovered that his wife had allergies. Guess we'll never know whether or not he convinced his lover to get a dog because of that, or if he went with her because she already owned one. Hell, she could have just been some lady he hired to look after his secret pet dog. Odette's the only one with those answers now. Oh well, probably shouldn't concern myself with someone who's been eliminated. Oh, what'd the news have to say about him? The goddess said that anyone eliminated during divine selection would have the reversal of their deaths undone. Not only that, but any events linked to that period of time would also be undone. See for yourself. She flings her smartphone across the table to me in response. I don't even need to browse the web based on her reaction, so I give a casual glance toward the screen before handing it back. Two weeks ago, an executive for a well-known Chinese corporation suffered a stroke during a meeting and died. Yeah, sounds about right. Speaking of which, you were taken up above the Court of Fate when you elected Ro, right? What's it like up there? I'm starting to find myself curious about how the election process works. Well, it's a bit of a pain to explain, but I guess it'll be worth it for you to know down the road. She doesn't seem too sure at first, but she decides to take the time to give me a primer. And a pretty long primer at that, even for someone who talks as much as she does. The circular platforms both Odette and Ro were standing on began to rotate as they were raised above the Court of Fate. Upon reaching a certain height, they stopped descending. The layout of the upper area was similar to the lower stratum, but parts of it felt different somehow. The goddess, displaying her usual wry smile, had made her own ascent before either participant could blink. Do proceed. After ascending, all the cards in Odette's possession sprung out from her book at once. A strange light surrounded them, masking both their number and contents from everyone's view except Odette's. So, do I just say what info I have on him out loud? You wretched wench! Do as you please with the cards in your possession. Odette's eyes scanned across the cards in front of her. She currently had 9 cards, including her own. Among them were 3 specific cards she needed to read aloud. She brushes her fingers against them before speaking. Nope. Please don't. I'm begging you. Cause of death, a stroke. You realize that I have a family, don't you? How do you plan to account for them after killing me? Cease this nonsense now, and I can recompense you handsomely. Money, stocks, or even land. You name it, and I can provide it. Christ, you're pathetic. Please, I'll give you as much as you want. I'll even give you access to my credit details. You never have to work another day in your life. His regret was his dog. It's over. It's all over. Sorry, but you can't put a price on my life. And more importantly, when it comes to competitions, I'm always in it to win it. Once Odette finished, 3 of her cards floated away from her. After reaching the middle of the Court of Fate, they came together and formed a triangular shape. Nice knowing you, geezer. Who knows whether or not he could hear his who knows whether or not he could hear her last words to him. He simply had his hung his head in head is hung. He simply hung his head in despair, realizing that his fate had been sealed. One by one, Odette's cards began to emit a white light. May fortune shine on the departed. Said light got brighter and brighter until it eventually blanketed the entire area. And then it happened. In the brief moment that Odette's vision was blinded by the light, enveloping the area, her consciousness was overtaken by an unfamiliar scene. Her senses were linked to the scene as well. She witnessed a number of old, chubby men. All are wearing expensive suits and sitting in an oddly bright room. Their faces were all twisted into expressions of boredom. The artificial lighting in the room was almost blinding when it reflected off the documents they had brought along. It was apparent that they were holding some sort of meeting. She could tell it was one of great importance, judging by the tone of their voices. However, she was unable to hear the details of their conversation. Some manner of interference prevented her from doing so. And then the unexpected struck. All of a sudden, her vision went blurry. Next, her face slammed down on the table with a thud. She was unable to muster the strength to move her body whatsoever. She collapsed down onto the floor. The unclear voices were now clearly being directed towards her. Eventually, her consciousness faded, and she lost all bodily sensation. A stream of memories followed. All manner of people were talking to her, but it was impossible to make out a single word they were saying. Regardless, the sense of disconnect she felt at that moment made it clear what was going on. These were Rose's memories. Memories of the moment he died, engraved upon his very soul. As he drew his last breath, Rose's thoughts were of his dog that died when he was young. By the time the flashback ended, Roa disappeared from Odette's sight. The cards she used to elect him did the same, and the room returned to its usual gloomy atmosphere. One thing she noticed was that the beam of light that shone from above had grown thicker, although she wasn't sure whether or not it was just her imagination.
なるほどな。脱落させた方にも死を体感させるとは、お前の根性は腐ってるみたいだ。
So the electors are forced to experience the death of the elected, huh? You sure are messed up in the head, aren't you? Parka opted to respond with nothing beyond her wry smile. In her hand were three cards. Odette realized that these were the cards that were in Rose's possession. Numeral 5's name, numeral 11's name, or numeral 11's cause of death, what would you like? The platform on which Odette stood began to move soon after Parka asked her question. Do take your time to think about it while we descend. Ain't much of a choice, is it? While she imagined this outcome, the fact that she was so on the money left her visibly annoyed. Following that, both her and Parker returned to the lower level of the Court of Fate. Well. I try to imagine everything she's just explained to me. Basically, you're forced to experience the same death as those you eliminate. Man, that's freaky. That Parker girl sure is cruel despite appearances.
そうか、なかなかにスリルがあったけどよ。
You think? I found the whole thing pretty exciting. In response, I made sure to sigh loudly enough for her to hear it. She keeps babbling on without a care in the world, though.
んなことより、日本入りするぜ。
More importantly, we're heading to Japan next.
結局行かなきゃいけないから、早い方がいいってことだな。
Might as well, considering we'll need to get there at some point.
それに、あんたが取得したカードの主は、どうやら日本人だったな。相当なジジイだったと思うが。
It's an especially good time to go now, what with that new card you got belonging to a Japanese guy and all. A super old guy at that.
そういうことだ。よし、食ったら出るぞ。
Yep, let's head out after we finish this grub. It finally feels like the second round's over now that we've decided our next move. Washing down the last flaky bits of my croissant with some milk, I stand up and get ready to leave. This morning brings memories of another nightmare with it. The second round of divine selection has taken place. By this point, I've already accepted that I am a participant. The fact that I'm alive right now makes it hard to comprehend the reality of my own death, but it's no longer about whether or not I believe it. Rather, the events that have taken place so far are starting to get to me because they feel so detached from my own personal life. Divine selection's grinding along, and two people have been eliminated without any influence from me whatsoever. I keep telling myself that they had died over 2 weeks ago, but I can't forget the faces I saw in the Court of Fate. That alone is enough to make my heart ache. I don't want to die. Not having access to my own cards is frustrating, too. There's one major reason behind my reluctance regarding all this, and it's the fact that I don't know what my own regret is. I still haven't sorted things out with Miharu, but it's entirely possible that we could both be eliminated while preoccupied with that. As afraid as I am of both the woman from last night and the guy from the first round, not to mention everyone else, I'm not about to go down without a fight. My first and foremost priority. I have three cards at the moment. If I'm going to do any digging, it needs to start with the people these belong to. I look up that Federico Carminati person after I finish collecting my thoughts. As expected, no useful information. All I learn is that it's a common name in Italy. The other two cards provide me the cause of death for numeral four, and a regret for numeral nine. That's numeral nine. All I know about them is that they seem to be foreigners. Where am I even meant to start? After a big sigh, I set about my morning routine. There's always a possibility that the other participants don't know anything about me. Doesn't mean I can waste my time, though. My own name card was among those distributed at the beginning, which means it's only a matter of time until someone puts two and two together. One thing that has me curious is numeral 4's cause of death. Much like me, their card says they died in a fire. From what I recall, Numero 4 is a boy from abroad. Of course, there's no guarantee that he got caught up in the very same situation as me. Much like how there's no guarantee that I simply died from the fire itself. In fact, I still don't recall how one broke out on the train in the first place. There are plenty of possibilities, from a simple accident to an intentional terrorist attack, but there's no way for me to find out when the act has been undone. In other words, what I've got going for me is my memory. Ah, screw this. No point in forcing myself to try and remember, especially when there's a near zero chance of a hint magically appearing to help me out. I make my way downstairs, have some bread, and then head to school. Phew, lunchtime at last. Did you bring your own? Mal and Miharu stroll over to my seat when the bell chimes for lunch. I had planned on going to the cafeteria on my own, but Mal catches me just in time. We probably would have eaten separately if she hadn't, considering my mind is a little preoccupied. So much for trying to go about life as usual. Yeah, I was just about to head over to the cafeteria. Actually, I overslept a bit this morning, so I didn't have time to make my own lunch. Overslept, huh? Obviously, I won't ask if that was thanks to being in the dream world. Sure is rare for you to oversleep. Either way, full speed ahead to the cafeteria. The university on campus has its own cafeteria, which is open for our use as well. Middle schoolers aren't allowed to use it, but once you hit high school, it's fair game. Since it's a little awkward hanging around all the university students, most of us tend to buy our food and then go eat it somewhere else. That goes double for us, considering how much we stand out. That being the case, we make our way to the rooftop after getting our food. Oh, we've got it all to ourselves today. The rooftop is usually crowded with students on days like this, but unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case today. What'd you two get? A ham sandwich. It's simple, but it does the job. Not to mention nice and cheap. You sure that's gonna be enough? I could ask you the same. Yakisoba bread and anpan isn't much more filling than what I have. Hey now, I got some coffee milk as well, so in terms of calories, I'm miles ahead of you. She jams a straw into the carton with a triumphant grin. It's a 16-ounce carton too. I'd probably struggle to finish it before lunchtime ends. Why is calorie counting a competition now? To see who gains weight the fastest? Please find something better to compete in. It wouldn't hurt you to put on a little more weight. I'd appreciate you not saying such things while ogling my chest. Yowza. Much as I am aware of my depressing reality, I'd rather not have her remind me of it. I mean, depressing reality. Especially with Miharu sitting right beside me. What did you get, Rinka? A tonkatsu sandwich. Well, guess we've got our winner. You're on the prowl for calories too, huh? I'm certainly not competing over it. Mal asks for a bite as I unwrap the packaging. Trust her to do so before I can get a bite in myself. I float the sandwich close to her mouth, which prompts her to chomp down on it. Ah, I didn't get any of the tonkatsu from that bite. You really do take small bites, don't you? What's wrong, Miharu? She's staring at Mal with a blank expression. Well, maybe she wants a bite as well?
じゃあハムサンドと交換する?マオがかじってない方をあげるから。
Wanna trade for your ham sandwich? I give you the part Mao didn't take a bite out of.
お構いなく。僕は揚げ物は苦手だから、いらないよ。
No, it's fine. I don't particularly like fried food in the first place.
すみません。
Please accept my humble apologies. Mao presents her yakisoba bread as an offering to Maharu after apologizing. Unsurprisingly, Maharu turns her down, which elicits a laugh from her. Honestly, what a silly conversation. At the same time, it serves to remind me that moments like this are a regular part of my daily life. Rinka?
Rinka? どうしたの?
What's up?
いや、なんでもない。ちょっとぼーっとしちゃってさ。
Oh, sorry. Guess I spaced out for a second there. That said, I go back to eating my lunch. We keep chatting away like usual on the rooftop until just before lunchtime ends. Okay. And while it says after the final period of the day, I hear someone call out to me as I'm tidying up my desk. Of course, that's Rinka. Just, hey Naomi, remember I picked Naomi, so I don't know what the choice, you know, what the results of that choice is going to be. But, I will say one thing I do have to do is save. And that looks like it's going to be the end of the coverage for today, I guess you could say. I'll do another one next week, because you guys really seem to like this one. I mean, we got to see another person eliminated, a fight. I mean, if you really want to call it a fight, I mean, Ro didn't really fight back. He got kicked in the gut and just completely dismantled by Odette. Yeah, it's interesting, and I'm learning more about the game and how the game is played. Basically, you have to have somebody's name, cause of death, and regret in order to eliminate them. And the goddess is just really fucking ruthless about it, and I don't know, we'll see what happens. It's getting crazy. At any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I am out. Later.